We're going to read God's word together. Then after that, the children are going to leave us tonight for their children's activities. Rather than Genesis 18, I want to turn to Genesis 28 instead. Sorry, Genesis 22. I'll get it right, yeah? Tis in there in the Old Testament somewhere. We're going to read from Genesis chapter 22, beginning at verse 3. Early the next morning, Abraham got up and saddled his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. And when he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship, and then we will come back to you." Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father, Abraham, "Father." "Yes, my son," Abraham replied. "The fire and the wood are here," Isaac said, "but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood in it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abram." "Here I am," he replied. "Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." Abraham looked up, and there in the thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide." And to this day it is said, "On the mountain of the Lord it will be provided." The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, "I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring all nations on the earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me." Then Abraham returned to his servants, and they set off together for Beersheba. And Abraham stayed in Beersheba. May God bless to us this, the rich reading of his word. The children may leave us tonight for their children's activities. Let's pray together. Lord, we ask in these moments that your Holy Spirit would move in our lives and in our minds and focus our hearts and thoughts on you, what we might learn from you, what we might apply to our lives, what encouragement or challenge we may take from your word. May your Holy Spirit anoint your servant. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. If God had chosen not to reveal himself, we would know very little about him. So, right from the very beginning of time in Scripture, he starts to reveal himself name by name, moment by moment, encounter by encounter. The Elohim, God, then Adonai, Lord, Yahweh, I am. All pieced together something of the nature and character of the God that we come to worship. The words Elohim and Adonai were used in other descriptions that did not refer specifically to God. The word Elohim is used in its plural sense to refer to gods in Scripture, and Adonai referring to Lord. It may be a human Lord and not divine Lord. However, the only word that is used exclusively to refer to God as we understand him and worship him was the word or name Yahweh. It was such a sacred name that the Hebrew people were reluctant to recite it. It could be written, and it was written in a particular form. And by the time of the building of the second temple, Adonai was used to refer, at least when speaking, to that very sacred name, Yahweh. As a consequence of that, we're not even sure how it was pronounced. As years progressed, and we rediscovered in the Middle Ages the Hebrew Bible and began to translate it again, the translators, perhaps inadvertently and unfortunately, introduced the name Jehovah. Now, the Hebrew people would not have used the name Jehovah or even the name that we speak of tonight, Jehovah Jireh. It would have been a totally foreign name to them in terms of how they understood the names of God. Probably, and most scholars would say that the more correct way of describing God in Genesis chapter 22, as Abraham is seeking to do, is Yahweh Yireh. And it will be interesting to see that somehow we have introduced an understanding of that may not accurately fit what the writer was trying to convey, or even the Hebrew itself was seeking to convey. If you look at verse 8, Abraham answered, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering. Many scholars, particularly in research today, say that the word should be choose the lamb for the burnt offering rather than the word provide, because then that has had some influence in how people have understood the word provide later on in the chapter. And the one that we are so familiar with Jehovah Jireh, the Lord provides. Look at verse 13. Abraham looked up there, and in a thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, the Lord will provide. And to this day it is said, on the mountain of the Lord it will be provided. Now, ironically, we assign a name to God, Jehovah Jireh, when in fact it was a place that was being referred to as Yahweh Yireh. So Abraham called that place, the Lord will provide. Again, most scholars, when looking at how it has been translated over the years and with the best Hebrew manuscripts, prefer to read it as the Lord sees. The Lord sees. It is the most consistent use of the word elsewhere in the Hebrew Bible. And on the mountain of the Lord, the Lord will see to it. And that changes slightly, though not significantly, what we're going to look at tonight. Obviously, each one of us accept that Yahweh, Yireh, provides for us. He does that, and it's consistent within our understanding of God, not only right throughout Scriptures, but also in the New Testament. The Lord shall provide all our needs according to His riches in glory. It's an exceptionally good description of what God does in your life and mine. How could we survive unless the Lord provides? How could we get our daily bread unless it was God who made the provision? So it's not in any sense inconsistent or unbiblical to say it in those terms. But nevertheless, the nuance is slightly different. And it's that I want to unpack just for a few moments tonight and see it from a slightly different perspective. Undoubtedly, God Himself did choose the offering that was given instead of Isaac. Out of the rams that existed, out of the alternatives that were available, God was the one who made the selection. And thankfully, it wasn't Isaac that was being chosen. And there was something that God was seeking to reveal to Abraham, even in that choice that was made, in the substitute that was brought about, in order that Isaac didn't have to die. But why did Abraham then describe the place as, if the translation is correct, the Lord sees? The Lord sees. And the Lord will see to it. I want you to turn with me to Exodus chapter 3. Beginning at verse 1. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the far side of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire within a bush. And Moses saw that the bush was on fire and it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses, do not come any closer. God said, take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good, spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And then down to verse 12. And God said, I will be with you, and this will be a sign to you that it is I who sent you. And when you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. And Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they ask me, what is his name? Then what shall I tell them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name of which I am remembered from generation to generation. Now let's think about this just for a moment. Let's get caught up in the glory of God. Yahweh, I am. That's how he described himself. That's how he wanted to make himself known, making himself known to the people that he was calling to be his people. That Yahweh had no beginning and no end. I am has sent you. He possesses total independence. As he was not brought into existence, he is self-sustaining. And he is independent from what he creates. As a consequence, everything that he creates depends upon him for its existence. He is constant in character. He cannot be improved. He cannot be diluted. He is sovereign in the selections and choices that he makes, electing a people to himself, reigning over governments. He is due the full surrender and admiration of the entire human species. This great Yahweh, I Am, is the one who was encountering Moses and seeking his attention. And then what is it that he actually says to Moses that arrested his attention, that he wanted to bring Moses into that encounter with him? What is it? Well, it is what he has seen. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers. I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land. So if we are to understand the name or the activity of God that arrested the attention of Moses, then it was this, that the Lord sees. The Lord sees. When Abraham was in that situation with Isaac, Yahweh made a selection of a ram, but he was testing Abram. He was testing his fidelity, his trust, and he could see that he was trusting the one true God. And as he would have surveyed that scene, he would have seen the mix of faith and concern within the life of Abram. He was being asked to do something that was showing his faithfulness to God, but it also meant that he would potentially give up that which was closest to him, his own son. The Lord was not blind towards Abram or the activity that he was asking Abraham to engage in. He could see it, but he also could see the provision that would be made, the selection and choice that God would have that would deliver both Isaac from death and his father from torment. The Lord sees. The Lord sees because the Lord wants to make a provision for his purpose and his plan. Not about human need, but indeed the whole salvation of his people. And that is exactly what he is seeing and what he is responding to. And Yahweh Yireh is doing exactly that when he looks upon the scene in Exodus, when he sees the suffering of his people. The Lord said, I have seen the misery of my people in Egypt. The Lord sees. And the Lord will see to it. The Lord will make sure that his purposes and plans come to fruition, that they will not be hindered, neither by a lack of alternative, because he could see and he was able to see to it that a ram was provided, Or indeed, the fact that he will send plagues and he will be able to create a situation of where the people of God will be led out of the slavery of Egypt. I have seen and I will see to it. I am concerned about your suffering, and therefore I am making provision, seeing to it that you are delivered, that you are taken care of, and that my purpose and plan is fulfilled. And how does that translate down into your experience and mine? Well, if we look at it in perhaps a more selfish light, when we try to think about the Lord providing, we think about it perhaps only at times in terms of our own needs. The Lord will look after me. He will make a provision for me. I will get what I need so that I feel more content and more fulfilled, so that I feel more blessed as an individual. And essentially, provision can be misinterpreted and often misapplied. But in the context of Yahweh Yireh, in the context of Abraham, and that God, the Lord sees, and the Lord will see to it, what the Lord was protecting was the fact that through this lineage, a Savior would be born. That he was demonstrating by the act of intervention that one day a substitute called Christ on the cross would be the offering. If any provision was to be made, it was because the Lord was seeing to his plan and his purposes. And when it came to the people of Israel, the Hebrew people, under the bondage of a tyrant and a ruler that subjugated them, the Lord had chosen them for his people because he had a particular purpose for his people, that they would be a light to the nations. And he could see their suffering, and his heart went out to them because they were his chosen people, that they were abused in such a manner. But the Lord would also see to it that they were delivered for a particular purpose that would not only benefit them as a people, but benefit us as Gentiles. So when the Lord sees what we are going through, the Lord will also see to it that his purposes are fulfilled. And that's the beautiful security of knowing that our hands are dealt with by an ever-seeing God. A God who watches over us and protects his purposes and plans for us. Because God has a plan for you, just as he had for Abram, just as he had for the Hebrew people, just as he has for us as his people, and you in particular as a servant of his. What can we gain from our understanding of Yahweh Yireh is that the Lord sees what's happening. He sees right into your life and to my life. He's not blinded to our trials and our tribulations and our difficulties. He's not blinded to the fact that our faith needs to be tested at times. He is not blinded to the fact that we are tempted by the devil on occasions, or that we face difficulty with people who object to what we say or how we live as Christians. He's not oblivious to the difficulty of life circumstances, or the brokenness of the world that you live in, or the broken heart that you indeed possess. He doesn't turn his gaze away. The Lord sees. And just as Abraham felt that the Lord was watching over the events as they were unfolding, as he, with a heavy heart but also with hope and expectation that they would be delivered, made his way up that hill, the Lord was watching. But the Lord was also overseeing, making sure that his purposes and plans would not be thwarted. That provision would be made in the terms of a ram, that the children of Israel would be delivered regardless of how hardened the heart of Pharaoh truly was. And when it comes to your life and mine, when God called you, he called you to a particular life and to a particular type of service. He has plans for how you may glorify him in that life. He sees what's happening in your life, and he is committing himself as Yahweh Yireh to see to it that those plans are fulfilled. They are his purposes within your life. Not sometimes our particular wants and our perceptions of what we should be given, but what he should achieve through us and what should happen as a result of his presence in us. That he will protect, that he will oversee, and that he will fulfill. Has God called you to a particular task? Has God given you a mission in life? Has he impressed it upon your heart? Do you find that there are obstacles in the way? That there are times that this purpose for your life is truly tested? You know deep in your heart that God has given you a yearning to be fulfilled. It's not constructed simply out of wishful thinking. It's something that God, on regular occasions, has impressed upon your heart. Things that he has called you specifically to do. You can turn to particular portions of Scripture as confirmations, as reassurances that this is what he wants from you in life. You are convinced. You are assured that this is what he has asked specifically for you to do. But are there obstacles in the way? Are there difficulties that you've encountered? Are there times of when you're truly tested? How are you going to find your resolve? And where are you going to find your resolve from? From Yahweh Yireh. From the Lord who sees and sees to it. And he will bring about the success of your calling. He and he alone. It will not be your human resolve or your human strength or your human planning, but it will be his divine providence and provision for you as an individual. Have you a passion to serve in the same way that Abraham did? Have you a passion to lead God's people in the way that Moses sought to do? Then the Lord sees, and the Lord will see to it. Are you convinced? Because it will be that will lead you the pathway that God has chosen for you. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on to your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. He will, if we trust him. He will truly see to it. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, whilst you are looking down on us, we are looking up to you. For we know that this is a holy time. And just as Abraham stood on that mountain and named it, the Lord will see to it. He was convinced that the only way out of the dilemma that he faced was not only trusting God, but trusting a God who intervenes both for his glory and purposes. Tonight, Lord, we meet as God's people in a place where God has regularly seen to it. And Lord, we will go home to our places where we sleep and the places that we go to work. And there, the Lord will also see to it. For we're never alone. never abandoned, because the Lord who watches over Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps.